The Old Testament reading for Reminiscere is written in Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew on the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Reminiscere Sunday is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Thus far the text. It is simply beyond belief to think that the Lord would deny the Canaanite woman's request. She doesn't ask for anything but that which he has promised to give in his word. She's not asking for a nicer house, for a better, more comfortable bank account, or even for simple physical well-being and healing for herself. Her daughter is possessed by a demon. Her little one is in the clutches of Satan. And knowing this, the believing mother comes to the Lord of life and prays, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She is not looking for a miracle worker who can make her daughter just better. She is looking for the one who is stronger than demons, for the one who can save her daughter from their clutches. Was there ever a request or prayer so pure? A more noble petition than these? Notice that she comes confessing that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of David, the Messiah. She recognizes him. This is the content and goal of all of his preaching and all of his acts. Indeed, it is also the content and goal of all of the preaching of the whole Old Testament and St. John the Baptist. Like last week's text with a blind man, she is a better student than Jesus' very disciples. But still, he seems to ignore her. She is in great anguish and suffering. She has faith, but he answers her not a word. She still clings to him, though. Her prayer does not cease. She does not give up. She knows who the Messiah is to be. She knows that the Messiah is full of mercy. She will not be turned from her course. She holds God to his promise, to his word, so that even the disciples grow weary of it and urge the Lord to answer her prayer and send her away. She's an embarrassment. But there's another obstacle. She is not ethnically pure. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She has no claim, no standing. Her blood is not the blood of Abraham. And in one of the harshest sayings to ever pass Jesus' lips, the Lord brutally declares, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, now what? Will she hang her head and go home? Will she become angry and self-righteous in the face of this racial slur? Is this her excuse for open rebellion and rejection of God? The world would be proud of her if she did. But no. Instead, these very words spur her on all the more. They drive her toward the Lord. These harsh words cause her to worship him. The seeming racist, callous remarks are the very words that send her to her knees. In the face of such a statement, she worships him. It drives her deeper into her hope and trust, deeper into the object of faith. She will not release her grip upon God's word, God's promise, no matter how foolish it seems, no matter what the word made flesh brings to her to test her. She believes that he is good, that he is merciful. She will not give up. And so her prayer rises forth again, "Lord, help me." And still, after this, he does not yield. He replies, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Yes, he calls her a dog. Talk about not being very politically correct, or even very winsome in his preaching. But here's why. What the Lord delivers to this woman is the law in all of its severity. It's the law, and it's necessary. Without the law, there is no gospel. Without the gospel, there is no salvation. Evangelism that fails to preach the law preaches nothing. Hear now the truth, O sinners. You have no right in this wonderful world of entitlements these days. You have no right to sit at God's table or approach him at your peril. He owes you nothing. Do not think that he is impressed by you or somewhat your good intentions. What would your reaction be if Jesus called you a dog? You have behaved shamefully. He says, "I gave you everything, and yet you rebelled. You have still gone after many other gods again and again." And what can you say to that? "No, I haven't." There's really only two ways to respond. You can get mad, become defensive, and deny it. That is, you can become self-righteous and say, "Well, you're not the kind of God I want. I need my sin more than I need God. You can't talk to me that way. Don't give me all that Bible talk, all that stuff about sin, hell, and repentance." You can vainly proclaim, "I'll show you God. I'll cut myself off. I'll throw a temper tantrum. I'll go to hell rather than worship you." And if you do, the demons will do what passes in hell for rejoicing. And sooner than you think, you'll join them. That's one way. And because of sinful flesh, it's the common way that man responds to the law. But there is another. There's the response that brings rejoicing before the angels in heaven. You can be brought to repentance and belief. Repentance is the admission, the confession, that the law is true, that God's law is valid, and that it is good. Repentance is the confession, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I wish it were not so, but it is. I'm guilty and ashamed." Now, that's the first part of repentance, admission and sorrow. The second part is trust in God's mercy. Without the second part of repentance, you would only have sorrow and despair, only self-pity. And so the confession continues, "Yes, I am a dog. I have no merit or worthiness in myself. But just as you are strict, holy, and unbending, you have brought me to believe that you are merciful and kind, forgiving and loving. You have brought me to believe that for Jesus' sake, you declare me righteous and holy. By your grace, your love, because of your coming for me, you are my God and my Lord. That is the response of the Canaanite woman. She throws herself upon Jesus' word, even when it is a harsh word. She embraces it. Just like Jacob didn't give up when the Lord touched Jacob's hip socket, bringing Jacob suffering, a reminder of his fallen flesh. Jacob embraced it and held on to the Lord. The Canaanite woman says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She says, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I am unworthy to stand before you. I am a sinner. I come not on my own merits, not thinking that I deserve it or that you owe me. I'm drawn instead because your grace and mercy beckons me. For you reveal that you are gracious and merciful, eager to forgive, and that you have entered this fallen world and taken on my nature, fulfilling the promised mercy seat, establishing the throne of grace to which sinners can flee for refuge, intending, Lord, you come intending to save me and my daughter. You have revealed that the Son of David comes to seek and to save the lost, and that when he finds them, he makes them the true Israel in whom there is no deceit. You have revealed that but a crumb from your table is my salvation. It is enough because your word has said so. Yes, Lord, treat me as a dog. Feed me and rescue my daughter. And guess what? He does. From that very hour, her daughter is healed. Her mother is a hero of the faith like the world has seldom seen. Thus you see what faith is and how faith lives. It is not an opinion based upon observed facts, philosophies, reason, or senses. It is not a vague hope in an ambiguous future or being. It is not an emotional stirring that thinks God must be favorably inclined toward you because of your love toward him. My friends in Christ, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Know this, the Lord Jesus Christ was not torturing or tempting this dear woman. He was exercising or working out her faith, strengthening faith, teaching faith to live by the word of God, which points to the object of faith, Christ Jesus. And not living by appearances and circumstances. Jesus did her the greatest service. In her suffering, he drew her closer to himself. In the end, he relented. He gave her more than she requested. Not only is her daughter rescued from the demon possession, But the Canaanite woman has been given great, strong, living faith. And it is recorded as an inspiration for the church forevermore. Now, demons will still prey on children. They will not be overcome with educational programs, better parenting, or police action. There is a supernatural evil that is beyond those things, and there is only one solution: the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is stronger than demons. So pray. Pray for your children to the Son of David with no less zeal than the Canaanite woman. Pray for mercy and trust that he will deliver it, and he does, and that he will hasten the end of times. The Lord did not ignore the Canaanite woman's petitions, neither does he ignore your prayers. He hears them. He gladly answers them. He came exactly for dogs who could not stand on their own. He came to pay your ransom, to liberate you from the demons, to heal your wounds by a declaration through faith, to bind up your broken heart and to make you alive once again. He takes away your guilt, shame, and regret because he takes it upon himself. And as he feeds and strengthens faith through his means of grace, keeping you in Christ Jesus, then through such God-created and sustained faith, he replaces your guilt, shame, and regret with his righteousness, holiness, and innocence. And this day, yet again, he sets his table for you, his true Israel. In you, he has raised up sons and daughters of Abraham with the faith and hope of Abraham. He delivers to you more than a dog's portion of crumbs that fall from the table. He delivers to you himself, his true body and blood, in order to deliver you. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Call out to the Lord as he brings you to do, and he will also bring you to realize that you've already been filled in his Son, Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.